illumine our hearts, O Master, who lovest mankind, with the pure light of thy divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, all thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our Lord, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is without beginning, and then all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto us. The readings on the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Let us attend. The Lord said to his disciples, whoever would be my disciple, whoever desires to come after me and be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And he said to them, assuredly I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Here is another parable. There was the Lord said this parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to fine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. And he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vineyard vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Whoever would be my disciple, says the Lord. A disciple is a student. This morning, let's stop right there, and let's consider, what does it mean to be a disciple of the Lord? A student of Jesus. Last Sunday, in preparation for the Feast of the Cross that was yesterday, we read from St. John's Gospel, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Note that eternal life is found by believing in Jesus himself, not in some teaching of his that can be distinguished from him, as though he were but a messenger or an angel delivering a message from God that could just as easily be given by someone else, maybe a prophet, even a philosopher. The Lord himself, Jesus Christ, is God incarnate. He is the message. For he is the resurrection and the life. We have eternal life only if we have Jesus himself in us as the life that we're living. Now look at him, if you would be his student. He is God in the flesh. How can God come to be in the flesh? What does that mean? We see him dying in the flesh on the cross. How can God die in the flesh? What foolishness is this that anyone who would be his disciple would want to study? It's something completely different to be a student of Jesus than it is to say to be a student of Socrates. To be a student of Jesus is to descend with one's mind into one's heart, to come out from behind the foolish idea of God dying in the flesh, in order to descend into the scandalous reality of his tomb, to leave words and human opinions behind, in order to learn the meaning of God in the flesh, by living in the not of this world mystery of Christ's death on the cross. There is much here for the disciple of Jesus to ponder. But sooner or later, the pondering must give way to prayer, to call to talking directly to Jesus rather than talking about him, submitting oneself to being judged by him in prayer, rather than setting out to judge him and his gospel according to my ideas or those of others who only talk about Jesus. For these are the blind leading the blind, the deaf talking to the deaf. So let us note that the Lord does not say, "Let him who would be my disciple deny his opinions and ideas in order to accept mine." What the Lord says is, let him deny himself and follow me. See how the Lord's teaching takes us at once beneath the surface of detached scientific philosophical study of things and into immediate engagement with him in the chamber of our heart, where we simply are, where we live and where we die. But there's more to it even than this. See how the Lord wants from his disciples what only love will do. A lover is the one who denies himself in order to be with his beloved. So a disciple of Jesus is one who loves him, who loves him who first loved us. A disciple of Jesus is one who wants to be with Jesus, not with the world. One who wants to empty himself or herself so that it is no longer he or she who lives, but Christ who lives in him or in her. This is how it was for the Theotokos. How could one matriculate as a student into this school of Jesus without doing what he teaches us to do? For his teaching is not a set of philosophical theories or scientific hypotheses or religious propositions. His teaching leads us directly into the mystery, so that we don't just talk about having eternal life, we are actually given to have it. And how do we get to have it? By studying the message of Jesus? No. By taking up our cross, by denying ourselves in order to follow him. And where do we follow him to? We follow him into his tomb. What is this foolish teaching? How do we have eternal life? By losing our life in the death of Christ and being buried with him in his tomb. This is what his disciples are called to study. Not in order to have a teaching about eternal life, but in order actually to have eternal life. Do I dare to presume to offer a first lesson? Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. Not to have Jesus is not to have life. Not to have life, not to have Christ in you, is to be dead. To be dead is to be separated from God. But God is love. To be separated from God then is to be dead is to be separated from love. It is not to be with your beloved. Therefore, if we have lost a dear loved one to death, or if we can imagine such a loss, I think we have a sense of what it is to be dead, to be separated from God. And God, who is love, did not make us for such grief. He did not make death. He created the world for life. He created us to be immortal in the image of his own eternity. He created us not for grief, but for joy. Not to be separated from our dear loved ones, but always to be with them. But even in this life, do we not know what it is to die? When we understand death to be the separation from love. For example, when someone we love hurts us, because he or she will not deny him or herself for our sake. That is, because they will not love us, but they think only of themselves. Does not the anger and the pain that we feel like we're dead? My point is that this is a taste of what it is to die. Death is ultimately separation from God. It's to be in a place where there is no love. It is not some inaccessible esoteric teaching. We know what kills love. We know what makes us feel dead even before we have died. Is it not greed? Or some form of it, or covetousness, or self-love? And are not all of these the exact opposite of denying oneself? So when the Lord, who is God, emptied or denied himself and clothed himself in the garment of a servant, our flesh, he was not talking about his love for the world, he was doing it. And when he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Might this be the moment that he died? But precisely in that moment when he was forsaken by his Father and died, he became absolutely one with us in our death, in our separation from the Father. How can such a mystery be reduced to a teaching that you talk about without losing the very life that gives it its power? This mystery that no word, let alone all the books ever written, could contain, would not be possible if God were not the Holy Trinity, and if the man, Jesus, was not himself God the Son incarnate. For as man, Jesus died and became one with us in our death and in our separation from God. But this same Jesus is God the Son, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. So when Jesus died on the cross and was found to have become absolutely one with us, separated with us from God, death or separation from God was found to be filled with God. For Jesus, who was voluntarily separated with us from God his Father, is himself God the Son, who in his divine essence is absolutely one with the Father, and who is himself the love of God incarnate. My hope in these reflections is that we would begin to understand, first, that the cross the Lord has his disciples voluntarily take up is not an abstract idea. It is nothing less than learning how to love and how to be loved. And that cross is very concrete, very concrete. It is given to us in the very concrete form of the Church's ascetic disciplines, prayer, fasting, and vigil. But second, I would have us understand that when we take up these ascetic disciplines of the Church as our cross for the sake of Christ, we are no longer talking about Jesus, we're doing Jesus. We're no longer talking about uniting ourselves to Christ. We are doing it. We are taking up our death in a very concrete form through the fast, in prayer, in coming to the divine services of the Church. We are taking up our death, our separation from God, and we are consciously, voluntarily, and intentionally uniting our death to Christ, in order that we can be filled with God and with the love of God. We are taking our separation from God and we are filling it with God, losing our life in the death of Christ so that we can find it in his resurrection means that we are putting to death everything in us that separates us from the love of God. And the root of that is self-love, the opposite of self-denial. To deny ourselves, to fast and pray for the sake of Christ, is not to make an angry God less angry with us. It's to love him who first loved us. It's to empty ourselves for him who first emptied himself for us, that he might find his life in us, so that we can find our life in him. That is why we can love him. That is why we can find our life in him, and above all have eternal life, have him in us. So it's one thing to believe, brothers and sisters, but you can believe till you're blue in the face, you're still dead. You can have the most intense emotional experience the world has ever known, but brothers and sisters, you're still dead. You're still separated from God. In order to have God in us, we need to deny ourselves. And we deny ourselves not in abstracto. We do it very concretely. We take up a rule of prayer. We observe the fasts of the Church. And we come to the divine services, not to fulfill an obligation, but to learn this love of God and to be filled with it, to receive God, not in theory, but in his body, the Church. And if we're not doing these things, you can believe that Jesus is God all you want. You are still dead. And you are not making your way to eternal life. You are still in the tomb of the world. You are not in the tomb of the Lord. So what we learn when we become disciples of Christ is the love of God that abides forever. In that love, even though we die, we live. For whether we live or die, we are always with Christ. And in Christ, we are never separated from God. Eternal life in Christ, then, is eternal joy that no teaching can contain. The teaching can only show us where the path is that would lead us into the joy that is from the Lord's blessed and life-creating tomb. It's up to us if we want to be disciples of Christ, to do what his teaching tells us to do. And that is to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, and lose our life in his death that we may find it in his resurrection, that we may love him who first loved us. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.